Begin.
Please note that the following program includes adult themes and language. You're listening to the weekly show on Discourse.
Yeah, I'm back.
Welcome back to Discourse. I'm Morgan Nickel, Big Birthday Kid from the Internet.
And I'm Dylan Reeve, aluminium medalist.
Sorry, I missed my own cue and then I spoke over your thing.
You were so rude. I've ruined the show.
So rude. It's already ruined.
Yep.
Where's the fish and chips? Let's get out of this gas-filled corridor before we all suffocate.
Money thinks you're an egg.
Oh, bro.
Fish and chips.
The show is cancelled. Beep.
The quickest show ever, I think. See you next week. Rate and review the show on iTunes. So this week, something extraordinarily exciting happened. And I don't remember, were you watching live the Curiosity landing, the Mars landing?
No, I was doing something else.
Oh, a job, working for the man. I couldn't help but watch it because it seemed so implausible that it would work. The whole thing with the sky crane and the landing on a column of rocket exhaust. It's like something out of a sci-fi movie from the 50s.
You can do that with an Arduino. Easy.
Yeah, I'm sure you can. No worries. On another planet, no atmosphere. So anyway, I was just compelled to watch because it seemed like the most insane, harebrained scheme. And yet, I mean, it went off without a hitch. There was a thumbnail picture from Curiosity on the surface of Mars within minutes of the landing. Absolutely.
Well, within a quarter of an hour of the landing.
Well, it seemed like minutes because I was so caught up in the excitement. All of the high-fiving fat engineer guys and
Mohawk
chest bumping Mohawk guy, and just absolutely incredible. So we've got a question in the chat room already. Wait, Mars has an atmosphere, doesn't it? Yes, it does, but it's very, very thin. You would suffocate.
It's cold outside. There's no kind of atmosphere.
We're all alone, more or less. Can you keep going? Do you know the goldfish shoal spit nibbling at your toes?
No.
Fun in the sun.
Yeah, no.
Topical. We could probably add something to what Gerard had been talking about because there is talk of another red dwarf season.
It has been made.
Well, I haven't seen it. People have been talking about it. I don't know if it's going to be good. They made that little mini-series a couple of years ago.
Look behind you, Morgan. Look behind you.
No, I'm not going to. Terrified. They made a little mini-series not long ago, and it was terrible.
Three episodes. Yeah, it was a bit rubbish. No, the new one, terrible. I follow the DOP of it. Someone I follow on Twitter, Ed Moore, and he's spoken about it on a podcast I listen to as well. It's definitely happening.
Well, that's exciting. I hope that it
definitely has happened.
Is that... now it's a writing team, I think, some Rob Grant and Doug Naylor or something.
I don't know if it is both of them or not. But the other thing was unrelated nerdism.
Philosopher,
camera nerdism.
Just one second. Philosopher, please get on Skype right now or else. Yeah, carry on. They shot it on.
They shot it with the Red Epic camera, and they also shot it as a multicam thing like you would with normal TV cameras, which was... a very unusual way to work with the Red.
So how do you just sync it up? How?
Afterwards, you sync it up in post, I guess. They probably went back to the Red RAW, but that means you have multiple cameras and you direct it like a studio show, which was how the original series was shot as a studio multi-camera thing. Oh. So that's just an interesting way to approach it, because normally if you use a camera like that, you'd go for a single camera style drama production when you do multiple takes from different angles.
Yeah.
Actually, that piece of software I wrote would have been really good for that.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, too late now.
Okay. Your piece of software that no one in our audience will ever have any cause to use?
I would imagine so, yeah. But it's going to be used in its first New Zealand television program on Thursday.
Wow, that's exciting. Can you talk about that at all?
There's a TV show that used to be on TVNZ 7, is now on TV 3, and they're going to use it in part of their production.
Cool, say no more. Is that all the rest of that? Is it secrets? I don't know.
No, it's not particularly, but that's enough to tell you what's going on without digging deeply into it.
Yeah. Now, other things that happened this week. Oh, well, actually, just the Mars thing was enough.
Was it?
I don't know that we need to talk about anything else.
Okay. Well, the show ended again. That's twice in 10
minutes. Absolutely jaw-dropping. And the thing was that, as everyone was following along, as I was getting all excited on Twitter and making my little comparisons of distances and so on, it had already all happened. You know, we were following along because of the terrible tyranny of distance. We were following along just as fast as the radio signals would get to us.
Which is approximately the speed of light.
Approximately. But when you're talking about a long distance, speed of light's not that fast. That's why interstellar travel, like from science fiction movies, that ain't going to happen anytime. I don't mean anytime soon. I mean never happening.
No, you have to defeat the speed of light first. And that's... You need a quantum leap in science.
What, a tiny advance?
Quantum leap.
Wouldn't a quantum leap be about the smallest possible leap that you could make?
I don't know. Yeah, no, the whole thing took, 14 minutes was for the signal. So the whole descent took 7 minutes, right?
Yep.
And the signal took 14 minutes to get here. So by the time the signal got here, it had already been either on the ground successfully for 7 minutes or crashed into a small puddle for 7 minutes.
And let's not forget what happened when the European Space Agency sent something up that was much less ambitious of a mission. Did they even hit Mars? I don't even remember if they... Did they even know what went wrong? Did they smash it into the ground? They got their units wrong, as I understand it. That was probably actually a gross simplification for the press. Yeah, it was something like that. Like there was a conversion between inches and you know, imperial and metric, and it gave them some degree of.
I thought all that stuff happened. I thought that was all from like the 60s when the NASA used to make those mistakes. I didn't realize that the European Space Agency had. And why the hell would you measure anything in inches?
There's no one here to correct us when we say NASA, but I bet some of our listeners are going
NASA
mental. Yeah, NASA.
NASA.
It's NASA. We are from NASA. New Zealand. NASA. NASA.
I still say router though.
Not router. Yeah, I couldn't not bring router. Myself to say router. I couldn't possibly bring myself to say router. And so very exciting things have been coming out, all, you know, additional stuff like a video, kind of a it's only a couple of hundred frames of very, very tiny images. A video from the I don't even know what the interplanetary thing with all the rockets on it, I guess. That takes a video of the Curiosity bit dropping down away from it. So it's like, zoo, disappears away. And then, like, you see a video of things landing on the surface. But there's also a shot. Now, let me find the tab. What was that?
Oh, the
NASA's Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter took a photo of Curiosity while it was under its parachute, slowing down incredibly quickly from unbelievable speeds, right, while it was actually in the process of landing. They took a satellite photo of it, and it is such a beautiful shot.
Yeah, handy that they happened to be in the right place, isn't it?
Well, they carefully set it up. Yeah, I think there were no coincidences at any point in this project.
What I like about all this is to think that it's just so far beyond what I could ever even comprehend, is to think that you can actually make these types of calculations and you know exactly where a satellite's going to be at any given second and all that stuff. It just blows my mind that you could predict this stuff and calculate this stuff to that level of accuracy.
And the exact angle at which you should point it. The magnification has to be this, and it has to be pointing at this bit of another planet millions of kilometres away through space.
Yep, insaneness.
Insane. These people, I am so impressed. They don't do it because they will impress me, of course. They do it because they like the science. Some of them do it because... You know, they want to see if they can. I'm sure some of the engineers are probably like, oh, let's see what we can get away with. And look what they got away with this time. The Curiosity itself, I didn't realize until they were talking about it on the stream and showed a picture of Curiosity with a bunch of technicians around it. Curiosity is huge. It weighs a ton.
Yeah, it's like the size of a car or something, isn't it?
It's so
that's it's not a Hummer. Big. It's probably more like a, you know, Fiat Uno.
Maybe. And it's certainly got very low-profile tyres. Did you see the wheels on that thing? They're amazing. So beautiful. Like, every part of it
is so expensive to replace.
Every part of it is so amazing. Yeah, and the call-out
thing. Take it for a warrant, and the guy's like, oh, no, your tread's low. And you're like, shit, there's $700.
I think it's going to be a bit more than $700. I bet those are $1 million a wheel.
At least.
Anyway, if you haven't watched all of that stuff, you know, I mean, we saw a couple of months ago probably the 7 Minutes of Terror. Is that what it was called?
Yeah, I didn't see that. To be honest, I had heard about none of this, not a single thing until, what's his name, that gadget nerd told me about it.
Yeah, right.
So, there you go. And that was on like Sunday. So I was not across this.
Yeah.
I'm sure it was splendid.
Yeah. Let me just see. Have I got one of these? And
philosopher in residence, Ryan Sproul.
Are you on the line?
Philosopher in residence, Ryan Sproul.
I'll play it twice. It's so good. You're there. I know you're there.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Say it. Turn on your microphone. Unmute. And then say hello.
It's a bit demanding.
All right, we'll come back to you. Fine. Fine. That didn't work. Fine. Do you want to do some news then?
Okay.
And now the news.
So I just want to get something out of the way quickly. And this is from 3 News CoNZ and Huffington Post and various other places. Miranda Kerr, nude photos leaked online. I don't know who this is. She's apparently a model. I'm not familiar with her. I just want to say, if you are going to go to all the trouble of getting naked photos of yourself put on the internet against your wishes, make them worth looking at, for fuck's sake. Just go a little bit further, models of the world and celebrities of the world, because this is very mild indeed. I think this is a setup. Maybe her career was starting to flag. And so that's what you get. I mean, it's like, you probably just about see it in a farmer's catalogue. It's barely nude. Barely nude. What's the point of that?
Next story.
Something else that I'm not sure about the point of.
Okay.
There's an American judoka who has been called variously a judo fighter and possibly also a judo player. Judoka. Judoka.
Right.
Motherfuckers. Please. Please, have some respect. Have some respect. He's been kicked out of the London Olympics because he was caught doping. But the performance-enhancing drug that he took was marijuana.
Yeah, that's... Yep.
What advantage does that give him? How does that make him a high-performance athlete?
So I saw a thing saying that a US insurance company... I can't remember the link and I can't be bothered finding it right now, but a US insurance company had done a survey and found that... smoking marijuana didn't make driving any less safe.
Yeah.
That if anything, people who smoke marijuana, and it's cliche, of course, but if anything, people who smoke marijuana drove slower and were, in fact, less likely to be in accidents.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I believe it, and I still think...
I don't think you should... I don't think you should drive while stoned. I don't think you should drive while on anything. Probably you should avoid driving while on coffee, and you should definitely avoid driving while tired. I wouldn't suggest that driving while stoned was a good idea at all.
I think the point of this was in places where you've got lots of, where medical marijuana is now a thing. So, yeah, you've got to consider the fact that people are actually legally taking marijuana, and then what's the consideration?
He is from the States, and there's a bunch of places there where it's legal in a state, but of course nationally, the federal law says it's not legal.
Yeah.
So then what do you say?
Who knows? But anyway, allegedly it's safer.
Anyway, he's out. And the IOC, they want it to go even further. It sounds like they're trying to suggest to the Judo Federation that he should be banned. And meanwhile, he's saying, I think possibly on Twitter or who knows where. Oh, no, it was in his profile, in his little summary in advance of the games before he was canned out, that he wants a job doing... whatever. He wants a job wherever, and it wouldn't matter to him what job he does. So, you know, he's not the sharpest motherfucker in the drawer, right? is that an excellent combination of things? He wants a job sharpening knives, probably, if I can just round that out. He's going to take it easy from his training after the games, but then in advance of the 2016 games, he'll get back into it, about 2014. If you get to go, you might be banned for having a bit of the weed.
Hmm. I'm pretty sure that some of the other, athletes admit to using marijuana recreationally.
Yeah.
I guess they just make sure they don't for whatever period of time it needs to be before the games.
Yeah.
It's a banned substance.
Yeah.
Enhancing or not. Can I do one?
Of course you can.
15 minutes.
All right, I have... God, it's complicated, isn't it? It's quite a big one. Matt Horan, a journalist for... a journalist for Wired and previously working with Gizmodo, was hacked recently, a couple of days ago. And his Twitter account, which is at MAT, was compromised. And somehow he'd had that Twitter account linked to the Gizmodo one as well, so the Gizmodo Twitter also ended up being compromised. But the more interesting thing about it is how it went down and also what some of the other effects were. So the hackers apparently were targeting his Twitter account specifically, but the way they went about it was they went to Gmail, so they figured out he had a Gmail account. They went to Gmail, they entered his email address in Gmail, and then said they'd forgotten the password, and it says it's going to send a reset email to... It doesn't show the email address it's going to send it to, but it kind of masks it, so it was n@me.com. So it was an Apple me.com account. So then they go about hacking the account at Apple, and the way they did that... Well, first they hacked an account at Amazon to get some information they needed. Then they hacked the account at Apple. And the way they did hack his Apple account was by calling the Apple Care Service Center and saying they couldn't get into their account and they needed to change... they needed to get a temporary password issued, basically. And so in doing that, they failed all the security questions that he'd set up. But when that happened, the Apple people then asked for his billing address and the last four digits of his credit card number, which was all they needed then from that point on, was to verify him. They then gave him a temporary password. That password was used to compromise his me.com account. Then from there, they could compromise his Gmail account. Once they had his Gmail account, they had access to everything, basically. But in taking out his Apple account, they also gained access to his Find My Phone and Find My PC or Find My Mac services, which gave them the ability to remote wipe his phone and his iPad, and his MacBook.
That seems like too much. That seems like something out of a thriller movie.
Yeah, well, and all this for a Twitter account. And also, once they accessed his Gmail account and reset his Twitter password, they deleted his Gmail account. So at the end of the day, he's lost... his iPhone and iPad will probably be recoverable, but he's lost everything in his MacBook. Now, he didn't have backups, which is... He readily acknowledges it was a big flaw or something.
You
should know better than to do, but it's gone.
Come on.
So when you do a remote wipe on a MacBook, you are asked to, on an Apple computer, you're asked to enter a four-digit PIN number that you can use to restore it.
Yeah.
But if you don't know that PIN number because someone else did it, Apple can't give it to you. No one else can give it to you. You can't get your stuff back. It's gone.
Is there some kind of encryption on the hard drive?
Not sure, but he seems pretty convinced it's gone, and he's the sort of person who would, I'm fairly certain, know if there was a way to recover it. So the whole thing's bizarre, and it all stems from... So the first step was they compromised his Amazon account, which gave them the billing address and the last four digits of the credit card, and they did that by calling up the Amazon service center and asking to add another credit card to the account. And all they needed to add to the other credit card was his email address... Maybe his email address and username or something like that.
Yeah.
So then they could add another credit card to the account. They didn't get any information about the account, but they could add another credit card. Then they call up after they've done that, say they've lost their password, and they can verify their account, their legitimacy by providing a credit card number that's on the account and the email address.
Yeah.
So because they've just added a fake credit card number, they now know a credit card number that's on the account and the email address. Then they can log in. Then they can see the last four digits of his actual credit card and his billing address.
Well, of course, nothing is ever going to be perfectly secure.
No, it opens up some very interesting discussions about how reliant we are on online access to things and passwords and all that sort of stuff. It's weird.
I would hate it if anyone got into my Gmail.
Yeah, well, when you think about, if someone got into my Google account, my Gmail Google Apps account, they could reset passwords pretty much everywhere. All my email goes through there.
I'm just not sure how anyone would get into my Gmail because you need to have my password And either the little piece of paper with my pads or my phone, which has a special little app that, you know, provides me with a code. And, yep. I mean, it's possible, probably.
Yeah, so he didn't have the two-factor authentication enabled either.
Well, what a munter. Why wouldn't you do that?
Well, because you wouldn't think it's a risk, I guess. You just didn't think about
but
it.
I think it's a risk.
He had pretty considered to be a secure password, but yeah.
I felt like it was my email was a risk. For years, yeah. I enabled that as soon as I could.
Well, it's an interesting...
Does he never travel? Anyone who's ever done any travel has put a bit of thought into how terrifying it is to use like a hotel foyer computer to log in to talk to your fucking travel agent or try and find, you know, what you're going to do today and check your email at the same time. You definitely don't want to have just a simple password to get in because, you know, whenever you use anything, you can be sniffed. You've got to have multi-factor for everything. You've got to.
Yeah.
It's a damn shame that Twitter doesn't have multi-factor, I guess.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's just interesting the way, you know, the way we approach security maybe needs to have a bit of a rethink when you consider, you know, how everything is becoming online.
Yeah.
Especially with new operating system things increasingly, you know, reliant on cloud storage and cloud data management. Yeah. So that's my news, that's my story, that's that one.
Meanwhile, in the background, I've been adding senior philosophy correspondent and cultural commentator to the conference, and it doesn't seem to want to work very well. Are you there, Ryan?
I think I'm there. I'm listening to you through entirely the wrong thing.
Right. Well, that means you're going to have like however much delay there is in the buffer to the
live
stream.
Oh my God! I'm hearing you ask again. I've got the delay. It's all happening.
Right. Well, you've got to turn off mute the embed. Or everything, you're going to go and completely insane.
No, I've turned off the live streaming discourse. However, I've also lost Dylan, so which is actually kind of pleasant. I've only got the sultry tones of Morgan to listen to.
Well, actually, just the sultry tones of yourself. Yeah, I quite like it when Dylan shuts up. Now, people still think that I'm the big mouth dickhead because, you know, I do call myself that at the top of every show. But let's be honest about who's been talking a lot and not letting anyone else talk around them.
Well, in his defence, you have been trying to get me on.
Yep, well, that's true.
Next story.
Man in court after Jerry Brownlee death threat. A disgruntled former Christchurch resident has appeared in court charged with threatening to kill earthquake recovery minister Jerry Brownlee. Oh, excuse my French. I've just said Brownlee. Oh, I've said it again. I apologise for anyone who is upset or offended by my use of that word. Prosecutors allege Stuart Meek sent a series of threatening emails and phone calls to Mr. Brown's office and to Earthquake Commission officials. Meek now lives in Waikanae, north of Wellington, and blah, blah, blah. I think that Brownlee is a fucking tool, and I can't stand him. I think he's an idiot, and I think he thinks he's the fucking sheriff of the town. He seems like a bully. He's not qualified to be doing the job he's doing. He's got no vision whatsoever. But you should never, ever threaten assassination or murder of anyone because you disagree with their politics. The politics of assassination are the very worst kind of politics. And it's shameful and small of someone to go as far, not even just in a conversation with his mates, but to numerous times email and phone Brownlee and others to make death threats.
I can't imagine who you think is out there listening going, oh, Morgan and his contentious views.
Well,
saying assassination's not a thing to... Oh, this guy again.
This guy again.
Just, oh, it's the Kiwi blog of the year.
I've actually got a story on Kiwi blog today, which is not necessarily a bad one. We could probably get... Now, so there seems to be a problem with having both of you guys in at the same time. I don't understand what it is.
Have you still got your video on? Is that what's happening?
I haven't got my video on.
Yeah, poor Dylan.
I swear to you.
Well, I'll bow out and I'll let you know if I want you to kick Dylan off and bring me on for something.
All right. that was my, you know, I agreed at the end there. You know, thank you, senior philosophy correspondent and cultural commentator. goodbye. Thank you for joining us. That's probably the bit I should have said before pushing the button. But the thing was, I wanted Dylan back soon. Hello. So I could have said all of that, I suppose. I mean, no one even needed to know what had happened, I suppose, except that the sound changed so dramatically and so suddenly, you knew what had happened. And so, you know, I felt a need to explain.
I don't know what happened.
Mainly we were talking about you behind your back.
Okay, cool. I'll look forward to that.
Yeah, no one can stand your kids. That's what it boils down to.
Next story.
Poll breakdown. You'll understand. Poll breakdown on same-sex marriage. And this is from KiwiBlog. And this is Colmar Brunton have published a poll that they conducted all the way back in May on New Zealanders' views on same-sex marriage, for or against, in various age groups. I'm going to read it as is. Among under 35s, 4-1 are in favour of same-sex marriage. 76% of New Zealanders under 35 say, yeah, duh, of course. And 18% go, bing, 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 no. I'm pretty sure that's probably what they sounded like on the phone.
Yeah, that's...
It's pretty close,
sounds
right?
About right.
As you might expect, as you go up in the age groups, the numbers start to balance out, but they actually don't quite. Even 35 to 54-year-olds, 66% are in favour. So that's two-thirds. It's a pretty decent majority. Over 55s, I'm not sure about. But there is a breakdown by gender as well. Women support same-sex marriage 2.5-1. Over two-thirds support it, and about one-quarter are against. The wealthier you are, the more you earn, the more likely you are to support same-sex marriage. It's basically, the last point is that the more religious you are, the more against it you're likely to be. So basically, if you're stupid and poor and religious, you are probably also a bigot. Now, that's not what Colmar Brunton say. I've pulled that stupidity thing in myself. They didn't ask a question, are you a fucking idiot? And then break.
Although, interestingly enough, there's been some surveys about that. But anyway.
Are you a fucking idiot? Yep. I think it should be one man and one woman.
Have you been reading KiwiBlog about this? Like, David Farrar is interesting. He's very pro-gay marriage.
Yeah.
Which runs counter to a lot of the people who comment regularly on his forum, on his blog.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's the thing. He does have the courage of his convictions. Unfortunately, his convictions are very often wrong. But in this case, he is on the side of right. I think I'm being told off in the chat room right now for calling people who are against marriage equality bigots. Is that what
in fact, it's been suggested that you're better than that, and frankly, I don't think you are, but all
but
right.
But they are bigots. People who are against same-sex marriage are bigots.
Maybe you're being told off for calling bigots idiots.
And their justification, this is an attack on marriage. It's not an attack on marriage. How does it affect your marriage? How does it affect... Dylan, you are married to a woman. You are a straight man with children. How does it affect, let's just say, for the sake of argument, that I was a big flaming homo? Yeah. How would it affect your marriage if I married Bruce? No, wait. If I married Hemi?
Well, clearly, as soon as gay marriage was legalized, I would go instantly gay.
Yeah.
Because it was now able to. I was now able to be married. No, look, it's ridiculous. And I was thinking about Colin Craig saying he could choose to be gay. That just comes down to the fact that there are people who believe who can't separate the concept of homosexuality from gay sex. They see it simply as a sexual thing. So when you think, you know, so when you're talking about gay people, you don't think of people as being attracted to people of the same sex. You just think of them as having sex with people of the same sex. And of course you could choose to have sex with whomever you so want. Really, if you know, fundamentally when it comes right down to it, the mechanics are there. So I think that's what Colin Craig's
there's
probably,
something about mechanics because they've always got such strong hands. So I agree with you. Mechanics often are there.
It's the grease. It's that anyway. I'm tired of it now. I've engaged in all the arguments, online and well, not really in person. In fact, the only person I know who's against gay marriage is gay. I've engaged in all the arguments.
Television's big. Stephen whatever, right?
Although he kind of is. He's not really against it. He just doesn't think it's necessary.
Yeah, he doesn't think it's important compared to other problems.
Yes, which is possibly true. But yeah, I've had all the arguments. There's so few arguments though, and the responses are always the same, and it's just ridiculously circular, and it's just stupid. Yeah. Can't be bothered anymore. So there you go. But I think it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Now here is where we're going to get into more difficulty. I think that people should be able to have a marriage with more than one other person.
I've been thinking about this at some length, and I think there's a fundamental reason why. It's not the same.
Oh, really?
No, and here's why. It's because a marriage, from a legal perspective, is a contract between two people. When you have a contract between more than two people, it's much more complex in that without some sense of there being a dominant partner, how do you have a contract legally binding between three or four or five people? You can't, you know, and it needs to be separable.
Wait. So... But it's so easy in a straight marriage because obviously the male is the dominant partner. Is that what
you're saying? No, but it's, in a male, it's a contract, an equal contract between two people. It's hard to explain. I've just been thinking about it.
Maybe you just need, if you add a third to your marriage, both people need to separately marry that person. Maybe you can just have as many marriages as you want. But if there are three people in a marriage, they're not necessarily all married to one another.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's quite a different... It's quite different in the sense. I'm not sure about it, but it's quite different in the sense of how the legal mechanics of it work. I'm actually more interested in terms of the slippery slope argument, the incest thing. Well, not the incest thing. The marriage between, I guess, close relatives.
But I think you can currently marry your first cousin.
Can you?
So yes. So how much more close do you need to be?
Well, I mean, the argument always comes to brothers and sisters and mothers and. You know, mothers and sons and mothers and daughters or whatever. Yeah, it's interesting. The argument is always
Just a second. I just thought of something.
Okay.
Cain and Abel used to get on well till Cain told Abel about his smell. And then you could have the running around the apple tree. Sorry, carry on as you were.
I don't know. It's confusing. I just think actually that's a more interesting one. In terms of the list of people who can't marry other people, there's a whole lot of strange irrelevancy in there.
Yeah, well, this is really why I wanted the philosopher on, because this is a conversation that we've been having, but unfortunately, for whatever reason, Skype is not cooperating.
It's because I think maybe it's because he hasn't approved my contact request, so he can't be in the same place as me.
Is that actually not a legal requirement? I just thought on being online rather than in person would get around the restraining order.
Yeah. No, I tried to add him before, and it said I couldn't add him because he hadn't approved my contact request, because apparently he doesn't care about me.
Because, I mean, the thing is that... Now, I mean... This is an awkward thing to talk about because, personally, it makes me extremely uncomfortable to think of siblings or parents in any kind of relationship. So, really, I think we need to unpack
the parents and children thing is complex because of
the power dynamic is completely fucked up. So, if a father groomed his daughter from a young age, can she ever, even as a sober adult, give consent to anything? With her father,
yeah, that's very questionable. I'm pretty sure, for example, though, that I can't marry my wife's mother. Should my wife and I divorce?
Of course, you can.
No, I don't. Well, she's married. That's the problem.
Right, and that's why we need. That's why we need to have marriages with more than two people in them, Dylan. So you absolutely. Can marry your mother-in-law. Oh God! All right. Well, I'm going to push this answer button again, and hopefully, you stay there, Dylan. All right. Well, I think he's gone. All right. So, philosopher,
Hello.
Oh, is Hello. Everyone here now?
So I've got the double up again. I'm stopping. Okay. Here we are. I've muted the live show. Here I am.
All right. So we're talking about. I think that everyone who isn't insane, everyone who matters, agrees that marriage equality, gay men, gay women, bisexual men and women, and so on. Should be able to marry. I think that is pretty much agreed. Then we come to the difficulty of having multiple marriages. And then we're all the way down the track to incestuous, too closely related to be comfortable marriages. What are your thoughts on those last two?
First of all, I don't want my silence to be taken as assent that you are only sane people, well, that all people who oppose gay marriage and marriage equality are insane, although I do disagree with them. Hey, Dylan, are you still there? Can I hear you?
Yeah, I'm here.
Awesome. All right, I got actual proper conference calling going on. This is fantastic. Incest and polygamy were the other two?
That's right. Well, yep. Incest is perhaps not the right word.
Polygamy, but, polyandry, polygyny.
Well, like you said, the power dynamics of father daughter, you know, or father son relationships, or I think potentially even older brother, younger brother. This is obviously an extremely sort of ick factor for most people, sort of situation. Yep. It's very difficult for me to empathize with people who might claim that they are, you know, a brother sister or a brother brother or sister sister. And yes, don't forget transgender people.
I'm not sure how transgender fits into this part, but we can come back to that bit.
Oh no, that was from a little while back, but you know, while I'm being comprehensive. If that couple came to me and said, hello, I am, you know, we are romantically in love with each other and want to spend the rest of our lives in a lifelong romantic commitment to each other, potentially raising kids, although for genetic reasons, probably not their own, I would find it very difficult to empathize with them. But in saying that, I think that's quite instructive because possibly that's how a lot of the opponents of gay marriage feel. They just can't empathize with it at all.
Mm.
It just gives them an icky feeling in the same way that, for me, I get from the thought of close relative relationships.
Listen, so, I tell you what, though, I've got a cousin who, lucky for her, she lives in Australia, but her hair smells good, man. She is a top class lady, and yes.
Sorry, I just like to read to you who I as a man can't marry. Would you like to go through this? It's 32.
Yeah.
My grandmother, my grandfather's wife, my wife's grandmother, my father's sister, my mother, my stepmother, my wife's mother, my daughter, my wife's daughter, my son's wife, my sister, my son's daughter, my daughter's daughter. Jesus, this is complicated. My son's son's wife, my daughter's son's wife, my wife's son's daughter, my wife's daughter's daughter, my brother's daughter, my sister's daughter, my grandmother's civil union partner, my grandfather's civil union partner, my mother's civil union partner, my father's civil union partner, my son's civil union partner, my daughter's civil union. You can see where that's going.
Yeah.
My civil union partner's grandmother, my civil union partner's mother, my civil union partner's daughter.
Wait, so let me get this clear. You can marry your great-grandmother or your son's 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 wife.
Yes, if it's that far away, I can.
Sweet, bro. You're in, man. Because Harrison is going to have a lovely wife, I'm sure, one day, because he is a very sweet boy, and they're going to have great kids, and then possibly those kids, you know, depending on how things turn out, might have lovely kids, and they might have lovely kids.
Well,
I'll
clearly encourage them to breed as young as possible.
Yeah.
The interesting – so that – in as much as you can argue that there's no reason to prevent gay marriage, some of these are questionable, I think.
Yeah. Well, I agree. I think that anyone who is related to your wife but is not related to you, I don't see why they are off the table.
Sorry, I wasn't
well, assuming that the marriage contract doesn't, you know, require some degree of exclusivity.
Is that ever the case?
I don't know. I've never really read marriage contracts. I'm just assuming.
Sorry, I was just learning more.
Now the thing about polygamy.
If I break up my in-laws' marriage, I can apply for an exemption.
Yeah.
To marry my in-law. All my in-laws didn't break up my marriage, then I can apply for an exemption.
Oh, really? Okay, I see how that kind of restriction applies, you know, regardless of the fact, you know, if your marriage with your wife ends, and then whether
if
or
I
not...
were to start having an affair with my mother-in-law, sorry, I'm upsetting my wife. If I were to start having an affair with my mother-in-law, I would not be able to marry her. But if my marriage broke up and hers happened to break up, and then, you know, one thing led to another, still quite disturbing for my wife.
Yeah. So if your wife died in a tragic baking accident, would you be able to marry her sister?
Yes. Yep, absolutely.
So why is it that you can't marry her mother?
No, I can. That's the same. I can as long as... Well, I can if I can apply for an exemption anyway, as long as I can prove that, as long as we can prove that we didn't break up, that we didn't contribute to the breakup of the marriages.
Quite a difficult thing to prove.
That sounds like a ridiculous law.
Yes, but anyway, so there's that's one of the two arguments. The slippery slope arguments is that one, and then the other one is the polygamy one. And then of course there's marrying your dog, but that's retarded.
Yeah. Just speaking of ridiculous laws, did you know that you're not allowed to walk down Queen Street while humming the national anthem with your hands in your pockets?
Because you could be doing anything in there.
That's a reasonably good law. You should also not be allowed to sing Rainbow Connection while walking down Queen Street in the middle of the night, but I don't think that's against the law.
Certainly never stopped me.
Doodle, 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 doodle.
Oh. So, yeah, marriage is weird.
Yes, and why can't we marry dogs? Is it because... we'd never marry humans again because dogs are so fucking great.
Yes.
I'm more of a cat person.
Cats are...
Yeah, I can see
you marrying
a cat.
Cats are repulsive. Cats are idiotic. Cats can't give consent because they're too stupid to read the contract.
Dolphins. You could marry dolphins.
They also can't sign the contract.
Apes. Some apes could do it.
Well, I guess...
While we're talking about apes, should we have the ape-monkey debate? No, it's not really worth it.
Why? What is the ape-monkey debate?
Whether apes are monkeys.
Apes are not monkeys.
Yeah.
That was a quick debate.
No, I disagree, but anyway.
What is there to disagree about?
There's some really good arguments in favor of apes being monkeys based on the way the taxonomy works, whereas monkeys describes everything that is... basically a primate that isn't a monk, that isn't an ape. Like apes are, there's common monkey ancestors above apes that are still classified as monkeys, and that apes are descended from. So when you're saying monkeys, you're meaning all of this category of animals except for these ones that we call apes.
Right.
That sounds like bullshit.
I'm not shitting you.
Well,
anyway.
You're shitting someone. So I understand that there's a dramatic reading and I don't have any idea about it.
Okay.
Is this something that we should actually do? And
it's just one. I can read it. It's just a short piece of fiction.
All right. And you can do it solo?
Again, are you?
I think so.
Are you doing it solo?
Yeah.
All right.
Then. Are you ready?
Shakespeare.
You know, it's not true what they say about Asians. Because Chang was big, I could tell he was a big bucket, if you know what I mean. You take the breast, I'll take the thighs, he asked from behind the counter as we locked up after work, his slightly high voice cracking. Like a cookies and cream crusher poured down my pants, I melted, walking towards him. I knew what I was about to do when against both company policy and health code, but I didn't care. He made me feel like wicked wings, hot and spicy. No, you take the breast, I said breathily, grabbing his hand and putting it on my chest, and I'll take you. The radio started playing the only song that got me hot and bothered, Flo Rida's Whistle. How about I blow your whistle, baby? Finally, he got the hint and ripped my uniform open. I gasped and unbuttoned his pants. He lifted me onto the chicken bench before he dipped his hand into the pot of lukewarm gravy and lifted it up to my mouth for me to lick off. There was so much of it that it dripped down my throat and onto my breasts. Soon our tongues were playing oral twister. Our hands, his hot and sticky from the gravy and mine moist from the chicken grease, were all over each other. I licked the gravy off his fingers, and he tongued the gravy from my chest, murmuring, "Say my name." I tried to form it, but my world was dissolving as we became one. Say it! The sensation was overwhelming. I gasped for ear. Yes, Colonel. Colonel Chang, I screamed. I fell back against the chicken rack, spent and trying to catch my breath. Chang bent down to pick up his cap, which I had knocked off in the throes of passion. How was it for you, babe? I took up my inhaler, administering it before wheezing. God, that was finger-licking good.
That was terrible.
Yeah. It's, yeah.
It's a shaggy dog's tail.
It's from a Jorkwood blog about Fifty Shades of Grey. It's Fifty Shades of KFC.
50 herbs and spices of KFC.
What I probably should have got you to do, Morgan, was read that ahead of time.
Yeah.
Correction, 45 minutes.
I apologize, listeners. Not sincerely, but I apologize nonetheless. Hey, so did you see that photo of the Curiosity rover parachuting down to Mars?
Usually when I put things like that in the show notes before the show, it's me making a suggestion for you to look at it and come back to me with some feedback.
Poorly considered, that's cool. And unexpected segment.
Yep, that's what that is. So,
next story.
Cyberbullying is far less frequent than traditional face-to-face bullying, which, you know, depending on what media you're into, you might not know about. You might not believe it.
Next story.
Cyberbullying is constant. Anyway.
Cyberbullying, well, it might be constant for some poor saps, but it's much less common than face-to-face bullying, and that's a good thing.
Can I tell you about porn trial?
All right.
Next story.
So this dude, right, in the UK, I don't know the backstory exactly. He got arrested for something. It's unclear what, possibly nothing. And he's now being charged with, I've got to find the exact words. It's not possession of obscene publications, but it's possession of extreme pornographic images.
Right.
And extreme pornographic images in relation to what he's possessing is described as grossly offensive and disgusting or otherwise in an obscene character, of an obscene character.
Oh,
an image falls within a subsection when it portrays in an explicit and realistic way any of the following, and the bit that's relevant here is an act which results or is likely to result in serious injury to a person's anus, breast, or genitals.
Right.
In this case, he possessed an image of... that's even questionable. The police didn't find anything on his computer, or work computer.
Yeah.
What they found was an image in his email, in his Hotmail account. They couldn't even prove he'd opened it. And some images, in fact, of fisting.
But fisting is...
Both things are absolutely legal to watch, to engage in, to perform, but not apparently legal to have an image of. Now, this man was a prosecutor and had been... prosecuting, among other things, police for had been involved in some police. What's the word? Some prosecutions of police officers for things.
So the penny drops. They are trying to get him back.
Possibly. It's a very weird story, and it's another one of these strange UK police prosecuting people for things that are insane.
Yeah.
Well, that's the question though as well, is to have gathered that evidence. They must have had warrants and convinced a judge, presumably, that there was reasonable, reason to believe that some kind of objectionable material existed, on the premises or whatever. To go looking for it in order to find it in the first place, what kicked that off, you know?
And then to find so little, a single image.
I think there's about four images in question. There was also another one. There's fisting. And there's images of some cock and ball torture, which basically seems to just involve
But they were in his email. I could send those images right now, and you'd have no responsibility for it.
I've been practicing saying cock and ball torture. And there was also something involving what's called urethral sounding, which I'd never heard of before.
I've heard of sounding. That's where you put things into the end of the penis.
Yeah.
You know, there's a master level, there's a pro level version of sounding called docking.
Next story.
Amazon now selling more ebooks than real books in the UK.
Wow.
Next story.
adorable toddler. Oh, this is a. I posted the video today for this. Adorable toddler gets a 3D printed exoskeleton. She calls her magic arms. This little girl was born all folded up, all her joints fucked up, her feet kind of up by her head, her shoulders all cocked up. She had something called arthrogryposis, which is not, it's not progressive. So it's something that they can sort of resolve by surgical intervention on the joints. But after doing that, she kind of looks, roughly normal like any other toddler. But she doesn't have the strength to lift her arms because she's never really used them. Anyway, what this doctor called Tariq Rahman had been working on... something called the Wilmington Robotic Exoskeleton, which is a kind of a metallic exoskeleton which assists, you know, severely weakened people to lift, you know, their limbs. But she's a little toddler. She can't use this big metal exoskeleton. But what they had was this one particular kind of 3D printer. But, of course, you could probably use any. This has come to light, I think, as a PR effort on the part of the manufacturers of this particular printer. So it is sort of marketing-y if you watch the video. But what they printed out this these external joints that then get Velcroed to her arms and then stuck together just with what looks like pretty ordinary rubber bands. And she is then able to use her hands like most other normal toddlers and play. Finally, something she's never been able to do. But so these people were able to print these things out. And of course, you know, if one person can print it, anyone can print it. It's just a shape. You know, you can share the shapes. So anyone else who has, you know, a similar problem and other problems going into the future, you can print titanium and so on. You know, we've seen stories previously of printed bone replacements that are printed in advance to perfectly fit a space which is going to be created, for instance, with the removal of a bone cancer. It's 3D printing. It's so commonplace now. We see it in all of these maker articles and so on, and it's usually making something kind of stupid. Like a week or two ago, we saw someone make most of the parts of a gun. We see stupid replacement parts for, like, you know, prams and turntables and so on. But let's not forget that this you can manufacture almost anything with these devices, including something that, you know, leads to as heartwarming a story as this one.
Next story.
Have you got one? I'm going to talk about IMAX, actually, if you haven't got something ready to go. We've got about 9 minutes to get a bunch of stuff out of the way. IMAX. Why? How did it become so hot in movies? People are prepared to pay, you know, several dollars more at least to see movies in IMAX.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
And let me tell you why I think it is. Dark Knight and Dark Knight Rises. That's why. Because in Dark Knight, when you saw the full frame shot on IMAX sequences, it was gorgeous. And in Dark Knight Rises, you could see, I thought just like half of the very long film, like 70 minutes of IMAX sequences. Absolutely incredible. But we're about to see a new Bourne movie, and they are promoting that as the IMAX experience, and it wasn't shot on IMAX. It was shot on 2K digital. It was shot so far away from IMAX that it is outrageous that they're using this brand anywhere near it.
Hollywood are very cynical.
It's just a marketing term now, rather than, you know, kind of a reference to, you know, a fairly cool technology.
But like so many other things, consumers A, don't really understand, and B, quite possibly don't know or care.
Yeah.
I haven't seen Dark Knight Rises IMAX or otherwise, but I've heard a number of people comment about the IMAX experience, saying that they actually found it incredibly jarring going between the full IMAX and not the full IMAX.
Yeah.
To the point of you know, pulling them out of the story.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's the case, but it did seem like a strange thing to do to me.
Yeah.
But IMAX is so, the problem is IMAX is so incredibly expensive to shoot. It's still
that's
for
what
the most
she
part.
Said. Oh, sorry, I was a little bit late on that one.
Good, good. Pulls me out of the movie. Nice.
No, it was a strange thing to have done to me or something.
Oh, sorry. Okay, well, you're even further back than I thought.
Pulls me out of the movie.
I didn't know what the hell he was talking about, so I'm really impressed that you came up with that.
I do catalogue these things as I say them.
Yep. Sitting there checking them off in his head, yeah, that's what she said, that it worked for that, yep.
It's difficult because IMAX is still a difficult thing digitally, so it's still, most IMAX stuff is still shot on film, very expensive film.
Yeah. Is it, I saw something talk about it as 70 millimeter, but I thought it was bigger than that.
No, it's 70 millimeter. That was much better.
That was much better. And yet. I'm desperately struggling to find my, what's it called?
Oh, that's a point about the IMAX, as Kevin was saying in the chat room. He thinks that Nolan would have shot the whole thing in IMAX, except it's too noisy for the dialogue scenes. Because it is. It's a huge camera that makes a lot of noise. It's not very good for dialogue.
But who shoots dialogue at the same time as they shoot pictures?
Everyone. They do a lot of looping, but you still, it's a shitload easier if you get decent dialogue while you're shooting.
Loop the whole thing. I can't remember what my life hacker of the week was. So you do another story quickly while I
Okay, no, Urban Dictionary.
Oh, are you? Oh, God damn it.
They're not great. I've got a couple left over from last week.
All right, well, you pick that, and I'm at the same time.
Okay, well, Urban Dictionary Word of the Week, seeing as you don't seem to have the thing. Ryan? Ryan?
Oh,
Ryan.
I found it! I found it! I'm excited, obviously.
Okay, Ryan?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm sorry, I was talking in the chat room.
Pick a number that is either 1 or 2. I was going to say between 1 and 2, but then you'd be like, oh, 1.7.
So I wouldn't, actually.
I'm fine. Pick a number that's 1 or 2. Or flip a coin, so heads or tails. I don't care.
1, for fuck's sake.
2.
One.
No, 2. Morgan's wrong. 2.
2. Okay. The word is carpalepsy.
Carpalepsy?
Carcolepsy.
Carcolepsy.
I know exactly what this is. Thoughts,
of course you do.
Sleep in your car?
I did my dissertation on carcolepsy when I got my PhD in driving badly, which I completed it younger than any other New Zealander has ever completed their PhD.
You did great for your final thesis.
My mother was extremely proud of the way I almost completely rolled the car on that gravel road. That tree was in exactly the right place. Carcolepsy. This is when you aren't sure if someone has died or fallen asleep. So have they carked it or are they narcoleptic? Carcolepsy.
Quite good. No.
Oh.
Carcolepsy is a condition affecting buddies on a trip who will fall asleep as soon as the car starts moving, providing no company or driving help.
So basically what you're saying is...
You're all wrong.
Yep, you're all wrong.
Best of life hacker.
Best of life hacker. Best of life hacker. Best of life hacker. Best of life hacker. Use ketchup packets.
Oh, shit.
You
I missed out. Sorry.
Bastard. Use ketchup. Shut up. We've got 3 minutes to do everything.
Go. Do it.
Morgan.
Use ketchup packets.
Anytime you're ready.
Use ketchup packets. It's mini ice packs. The fucking life hacker.
What does life hacker have to say about corpses while you're trying to?
If you have a really, really tiny and very mild muscular injury, and don't want to use like a bag of peas, and have thought in advance sufficiently. By freezing McDonald's or Wendy's ketchup packets, then you've set yourself up perfectly. You fucking weirdo.
Genius.
Best of life hacker. Best of life hacker. Best of life
hacker. Best of life hacker. Fuck, I've got to stop that thing looping. The life hacker. It's very hard to find the best of life hackers, but whenever I find them, I know that I've found the one.
Next story.
Actually, this is probably more of a corrections.
Let's open corrections. Up the
tote bag. Whatever, but. I think we spoke a little bit about Valve porting Steam to Linux, and I probably said something like, this is going to suck. Oh, actually, this might have been an overflow that was never published, so the chat room will probably remember.
Who the hell knows what we talked about?
This was about Valve porting Steam to Linux, and I was like, this is going to suck because the game's going to be awful because there are no good video drivers because NVIDIA and so on are dickheads. Well, it turns out that Valve's optimizations make the Linux port of Left 4 Dead 2, which is, I think, the first one that's been made available, on a Windows machine, it makes a huge frames per second rate, actually, about 270, which is more frames per second than most people need, given that your LCD probably does between about 60 and 120 at the maximum. The Linux
Isn't
version,
there more frames per second than reality has?
What does reality have?
After you play that level of games, you look out at real life and it looks just, you know... Stuttery.
But maybe not with the Linux one, because the Linux version has 315 frames per second, which is about 45 more than the Windows port. So,
corrections.
My mistake. Now, did we have anything else? Oh, hey, Dylan.
Hey.
DiscourseCoinZ/VPN.
Excellent.
What's your auntie been talking about?
What's your auntie been talking about?
What has your auntie been talking about?
Thing?
Nothing.
Actually, my auntie was curious about, I can't remember the name of it now, so it doesn't really matter. Oh, anger management.
Oh yeah, set. My auntie did send me some, and it was not interesting.
Yeah, Charlie Sheen being angry.
Made it one episode in. What I have been watching is Teen Wolf. I know, we mentioned it sort of just as a joke, I guess, on season one. I've watched every single episode. We're deep into season two now, and I fucking
is it good?
Fine.
No, it's terrible. I should stop, but I love it.
I'm out of things. I went back and started watching Dark Angel, which I'd never seen before. That is the fucking 90s-est show.
Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you again next week, and we might do a few minutes of Overflow, but who knows?
Bye, kids.
You're listening to The Weekly Show.
I didn't need to say goodbye.
Sorry. Of course.
All right, we're using that one.
You're listening to Extra Large on Discourse.
Use ketchup packets as mini ice packs.
The funny thing is, I'm actually going to do that. Like, I have a problem with my graphics card in this laptop overheating to the point where I've got a packet of frozen pizzas that I rest the laptop on. And I just periodically have to switch it out for another because it melts.
For another packet of now defrosted and ruined peas.
Yeah, I use the same pea packets, Dylan. I'm not a monster.
You are. You're one of those wasteful, those pea wasting pea heads. I know.
So that's really frustrating because I started playing DayZ.
Oh, interesting. Because
is it not DayZ?
I would say DayZ, but
he started playing DayZ.
DayZ sounds nice. It's a trick. Yeah, and Jose playing, and every now and then posting up a thing, and of course the various YouTubes that we've spoken about a few times, I think probably on the Overflow before. It makes it extremely appealing, and people writing up their experience. And recently that one where the chap was picked up by all the guys in the bus and then told to put down his weapons and they were going to take him to a safe place as soon as he proved himself. And then he had to battle in an arena like a gladiator. Brilliant! The narrative that people
Did
are building in a simple
you
game.
You can actually take a large bag of pee, the drug, put it in the freezer, and use that as an ice pack.
Can you? Does it hold the... Because I've got some, and...
Is it a large bag? You need about a kilo.
Well, I'd say I've probably got about a kilo... Well, no, not quite, but I'm pretty sure I can flatten it out and...
You have to moisten it as well.
Moisten it?
Yeah, with pee.
To freeze and refreeze... Oh, with pee.
Yeah.
I thought you were talking about my crystal meth. You want me to piss into a bag?
Of crystal meth.
Oh, piss into a bag of crystal meth. So you were... Oh, okay. Let's... Well, I mean...
Okay. You have like a pee-pee slush.
If you say so.
Mm.
Next story.
I mean, totally legit. I saw it on my...
Jeez, you guys, I can hardly leave you alone for a moment. But I wish I had left you alone. I had to sit through all of that. So DayZ. So Jose playing has made me... I still haven't bought it, even though I spoke about it. This is another thing. I spoke about getting it in the Steam sale, but instead I got Fallout New Vegas, and I've been playing the arse off that. But every now and then I think, God, it would be great to play, but only with people that I knew.
Yeah.
And now it turns out that there's at least two people I know who are playing.
That's
so,
right. Well, Jose's given me a map of where he is, and he's got apparently an ATV hidden and stuff.
Yeah, he posted a photo of his little – he's got a tent and his little quad bike. And
it's really sweet of him to
– To trust you.
Yeah. Because all I've got is
a desire to steal everything he's got.
A blood disorder and and like a gammy leg and pretty much nothing else. All my vision's all grayed out. I played it for like 2 hours and I was just roaming around like avoiding zombies and trying to pick up stuff. And then I heard a gunshot and I was so excited that I had found another human being playing the game that I immediately stood bolt upright and looked around for the person who could be my friend. I got shot right in the face.
Did you not watch any of the YouTubes?
You forget. After 2 hours of no human contact, even if they're going to shoot you in the face, you just want to say hi to somebody.
Yeah. But you know that there's this other person who also hasn't seen anyone for 2 hours, and his first response when he sees a human is to kill them.
Yeah, I know, and I think that's really sad, and I think that we've probably come from two quite different walks in life.
Yeah. See, I think it's collaboration that gets the Skycrane Curiosity landing on Mars, and it's shooting people in the face that gets fuck all, actually.
Well, probably my canteen.
Yeah, well,
maybe. I've got an empty jerry can.
Right. You need to put some petrol in that so you can go and fuel up. That's what you could do.
Do I?
Yeah, go.
I can get some petrol. Go and
go to Jose's.
Jose's ATV and drive off with it.
No, just fuel it up. And that's it. And then leave. And he'll be like, hey, did you get him a thing? And you'll be like, yeah, I left you a gift. And he'll be like, fuck, I don't know what. I can't find anything. But then one day when his quad bike doesn't stop running for quite as long as he expects, you know, quite as soon as he expects it to, he'll be like, huh, maybe he gave me some petrol. It would never occur to him what you'd done. You could just keep going back. You could keep sneaking into his
Well,
his
he
camp.
Listens to the show religiously, though, so he'll know.
Just referring to the chat room here, speaking of... oh my God, America is great, or politics. Who has been watching any of Newsroom?
Oh, okay, so you feel the same about this last episode that I do?
Yeah, but we're not going to talk about that.
I have not watched the last episode.
The show in general, they started off with that wonderful line.
America's not great.
Could be
the greatest country.
Could be, yeah.
Used to be.
Apparently that didn't last any fucking longer than that episode, and it all went to shit after that. Honestly, I'm not enjoying it. I don't know why I still watch it, probably because it's either that or Dark Angel at this point.
I enjoyed it. Well, I still enjoy it. I was just kind of unimpressed by the last episode. It didn't really work for me, but that's just because I'm not an American. I think that was a very American-centric episode.
You know what's working for me? Breaking Bad, motherfuckers. Oh, yeah.
I love me some Dora the Explorer.
You guys, have neither of you watched Breaking Bad?
I said "oh yeah" at the same time as you are, so.
Oh, I'm sorry. It must have cancelled out. Our waveforms.
I haven't watched any of it. I've never seen a single episode of Breaking Bad.
What is wrong with your brain?
There's so much of it I have to watch. It just seems overwhelming. I can't quite.
Four seasons.
I just can't. It's so much. I don't have time, and I can't start watching it partway through. I have to go right back to the beginning.
Is there anything else that we want to do, or should we get out of this gas-filled corridor? God, that curiosity thing.
17th time you've said that.
Yeah.
Oh, I actually did have a correction that I probably should have put in the...
Corrections.
I probably should have put it in the real show. That probably means I have to put up a... God damn it, I have to put up a fucking overflow for real. I've given a little bit of additional thought to that Eden Park security guard skateboard thing.
Okay.
I was defending the security guard.
From what?
From his attackers.
Awesome.
I was defending the security guard because I hated the kid so much, and I shouldn't have. He was clearly wrong to smash the kid's skateboard up. But that kid, fuck, I still want to say, but that kid fucking deserved it. There was something about his entitled, arrogant...
no one will disagree with you on that point.
Illogical bullshit. There's just something about him that just made me think, you know, I hope someone steals his shoes. I hope someone breaks his next skateboard as well. But, you know, preferably doesn't hurt him. But that kid, fuck that kid. And yet, I think I protected the security guard, defended the security guard more than...
You protected him.
Yeah. that huge dude, I protected him real good. I defended him maybe more than I actually intended to. I don't want it to seem like I think that what he did was cool. I mean, he clearly lost his shit at the end there. He just... Aside from that, though, all he did was walk the kid out. But then... I don't know if it was the jostling or if it was the kid just being such a little fucking prat that just made him boil over. But what a dickhead. He shouldn't have done what he did. But still, that fucking kid. What a...
Corrections.
What a meandering correction. I still hate that kid. And I'm still sort of defending the security guard.
You should stop now correcting yourself before you uncorrect yourself.
Yeah, I'm finished.
Yeah, we can see it again. Next week there'll be another one. I started a correction and I ended up just yelling about that kid.
That
well, that was wrong of
kid.
Me, but I have to say, fuck that kid, and I hope that he gets punched in the face and dies with his nose being driven up into his brain.
We'll see you
next week for another correction.
Hey, Dylan.
Hey.
So BBC have been streaming the Olympics coverage live online, as you would probably expect them to do. But, of course, you can only see it if you're in England, because English people, as we have with our local TVNZ and TV3 streams, English people pay a broadcasting fee, which we used to do, and now it's just kind of...
Apparently it's like £25 a month or something.
Right. Well, it's worth
it. It's like a lot.
Yeah, but it's worth it. Look what they get. If it's geo-blocked, so you can't get into it if you're outside the country, discourse.co.nz/VPN. Guess what? Guess what? If you had discourse.co.nz/VPN, and if you connected, for instance, to one of the England servers, you would then appear to be in England. And guess what that would enable you to do?
I can't follow this line of reasoning. I don't know.
It's surprisingly inexpensive.
Do you know what's even more interesting? What's interesting?
Yeah.
Hey, you know.
Fine. More interesting than that. Yeah. Shut up. Shut up, Ryan. If you connect to iPlayer and you start playing a video,
yeah,
and then you pause the video,
yeah,
and then you were somehow disconnected from your VPN, assuming that was how you was. Anyway.
Oh, does it continue working?
Turn your VPN off. It continues working.
Oh, so they
once it's started,
once.
Even if you change, okay, you have some sort of authentication key or token or whatever that says, right, I can watch this video, and it lets you continue watching the video.
That would be good because I've heard that it works pretty bloody well through the VPN, but there were a couple of rebuffers, and it might be that that wouldn't happen with a direct connection.
It may well be. I haven't tested it thoroughly, but I've heard that from a couple of people, and I did accidentally find that result myself.
discourse.co.nz/VPN. You can watch the Olympics.
Surprisingly inexpensive.
It's surprisingly.
Unlike the Olympics itself. I saw a great article, which I haven't got a link for, so I shouldn't mention it. But
I will mention one thing that I know about this. Getting Curiosity to Mars cost one third as much as putting on the Olympics.
And it was
one third.
Was it one third as expensive? Was it one third
that
as awesome?
That is mind-boggling. And that was far greater than anything I've seen at the Olympics so far.
Really? What about I don't know. What about the double? What about the pairs rowing? That was pretty fucking impressive. The doubles rowing, double rowing. Anyway,
did it make me shout? No. The only thing that's made me shout so far was the women's triathlon finish. Oh my god! I just could not contain myself. It was so
excited. Yeah, I watched that. I really enjoyed it.
Can you name a European country that used
Finland
to have
Luxembourg?
That I hadn't finished the question. Estonia. European country that hosted the Olympics not that long ago and is now in
Greece.
Terrible financial strife.
Oh, shit. It actually was Greece. I was going
to
say.
It actually was Greece. Well done.
Nice.
There's an article showing what's happened to a lot of the Olympic structures, which is basically they've fallen into complete disrepair.
Oh, no.
They spent billions of dollars building them and no one uses them anymore.
Mm.
Interesting, the same thing in China, although in China some of them have actually been completely demolished.
Yeah. There's amazing construction projects in China. Just, you know, cities built.
Aren't they planning to build the world's tallest building in like 9 weeks or something?
Yeah. Yeah, it's madness. You know. Absolute madness. I mean, if the engineering works, then why not? But, you know,
they're building
surely,
it off-site in modular fashion. And putting it
surely
together.
There's a reason that it's not usually done that way. Is it just because it hasn't been tried? I don't know. Maybe it is. Maybe this will be the way that we do it in the future. Maybe we'll be able to ship the new tallest building into our port and just whack up a big one in Takabuna. I don't know. Maybe we could have the world's tallest building just with some prefab modules. We could probably just do it out of shipping containers currently sitting empty at our port. Actually, we wouldn't even need to bring anything in. Just build it up like Legos. I said Legos.
Right, I'm going.
All right.
You've offended him with Lego comment. What competes with Lego? Nothing.
Toro.
He's a Mega Bloks man.
Toro.
Yeah, Toro doesn't exist anymore, and it was shit. Mega Bloks.
The plastic was sucky. That thing about the little 2-year-old girl with the magic arms, that was made with the same plastic that Lego is made of.
See all the Lego knockoffs, and we bought one for my son for one of my children recently because. He saw it and it was a fire engine. And he's very into fire engines.
Yeah.
The problem with them is they use the wrong plastic.
Right.
It's all about the plastic.
Is it
Lego
too soft?
Perfect plastic.
Yeah. The Lego stuff, it really is perfect. Where did everyone go? It's an excellent question, Morgan. Where did everyone go? Let's pretend nothing happened.
Nothing did happen.
Yeah, okay, but you went silent, didn't you?
Yep. So anyway, good show. Great.
But maybe Lego should be made of something that doesn't hurt so much if you kneel or stand on it.
Yes, like knives. Knives wouldn't hurt as much to stand on.
Yeah. So what's been going on in the chat room? I haven't really been paying much attention.
Oh, they've been just yammering on like they do.
There needs to be a discourse listener party with lots of booze and a live recorded show.
Oh yeah, we should do it. if the Swim at Kim's thing ever becomes an actual event. He keeps promising to make it. We totally do a live discourse
just,
from there.
I don't trust that guy.
Yeah,
I just don't really. I don't want to be anywhere near anything that he does.
All right, well, we'll do a live discourse from nothing. I got nothing.
There's something about him rubs me the wrong way.
He's German. You're racist.
I don't think that it's because he's German. I think that it's because he actually is dodgy, and there's just something about him that it just exudes it.
All right, well, I was going for the German thing, but that's okay.
There is something just dodgy about him. Something in his eyes.
All right.
But you know who is even more dodgy? Oh, we can save that for another week. That unconvicted murderer. Oh, my God. Seriously, is there anyone? Does anyone still not think that he didn't do it?
What? Still what?
Still think that he didn't do it. Does anyone believe that he is innocent? A lot of people agree that he couldn't be convicted based on the evidence that was available. I agree with that as well. But does anyone actually think he's innocent?
So, all right, though, but there's that the stuff that's happened since then, the other charges, which we mentioned last week, we didn't know what they were last week, and they were, anyway.
They were horrific.
There are people who have argued that they should have been available to the, that information should have been available to the jury.
Yep.
Do you think it should have?
I don't know. I think that that is something that the lawyers and judges have to discuss with themselves. So that's something that requires a great deal of thought. Because, I mean, I think if someone has... you should only be tried based on this thing. But if someone has form, if someone has been consistently fucking with all of their neighbours for years on end, and this is only the last in a long series of events, maybe it's fair to say, look at all these other insane things that this guy has done and already been convicted of.
Right.
Maybe it is actually fair. But is it always fair? I don't know. I think it's a really difficult problem. Because sometimes, someone could be picked up just because he is the usual suspect. He might have nothing to do with it. But because of his previous crimes, he'll have very little chance of being able to put on a strong defence. So it's a very difficult problem.
And that's just, it clearly shows he's a whatever, deranged person. I mean, the killing the calves alone was, there's some psychological warning signs there.
Yeah.
But, it's not relevant to what the crime he was being charged with was. Whereas the other
relevant? Was it not relevant?
Nothing to do with the victim. No, it was a completely different time.
But the thing, yes, it was at a different time. But if you look at his pattern of offending, it was pretty consistent over several years.
But think of it another way. If he was, in fact, innocent of killing Scott Guy, but guilty of those other things, and yet went up with that information in front of the jury, what would they think? Or would he actually stand a chance of getting a fair trial once all that other stuff is presented against him? It's very easy to imagine a scenario where someone has been, has a lot of history, a lot of form, like you said, but isn't in fact guilty of what they're being accused of. Yep. But it's hard to look past what they've done in the past and believe them.
Yeah, and that's why it is genuinely difficult to resolve.
Pushes marginal evidence over the edge.
Yeah.
You think, oh, well, there's a little bit, there's a little bit of doubt there, but I mean, clearly he's a psychopath, so it must have been him.
Yeah. I mean, I guess a little bit of doubt is right. There is, of course, there is doubt there, just like there is doubt about David Bain having murdered his whole family. But they did it. I mean, if you look at the balance of probabilities, which is not the standard, of course, to which they were held for, a murder prosecution. But if you look at the balance of probabilities, it's just fucking... Of course they did it. Of course both of them did it. Anyway, I think our boy Dills has lost his internet. Sounds like it to me. Does it sound like it to you? Oh, something's coming back. There was an error contact with the server. Please refresh in a few moments. Well, my mixer's back. That's something. There's Dylan. It was me. I shouldn't have. I should never have blamed him. I apologise. But, you know, once again, not very sincerely. Hello.
Your internet died.
Yeah, so I thought it was you, but it was me. I was like, oh, he's gone away, but all my other stuff's still there. And I was like, wait, Mixler's reconnecting as well. What's that about?
Oh, well, seems like the end.
It seems past the end.
Fish and chips, fish and chips, fish and chips.
This show is cancelled. Beep.